Alrighty, everybody. Welcome to All Talk, All Ashes, the podcast that covers all things Ashes of Creation related. My name is Frenzy, a longtime Variety MMO gamer, and I am joined by my brother, Subjective.
Good day. Nice dev update we got to discuss today.
That's right. That's what we're all about here. We're going to be breaking down the dev update. If this is your first time tuning in, we just had the April developer update, and we're going to be kind of digging into that a little bit. Other podcasts and topics vary. We just kind of like to dig into the game, things that are going on with Ashes, kind of just dig into, you know, some of our experience with other MMOs and kind of comparing them and thinking about stuff related to Ashes. If you're interested in that, we'd love to have you along for the ride. If you do, consider, I think a lot of people are kind of listening and kind of following along on YouTube. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say, please subscribe. We'd love to have you. We've had some new subscribers, so come on in and join in the discussion, comment, all that good stuff, or join our Discord as well if you want to kind of jump in the conversation with us. But as mentioned, today we're talking about the developer update for April, which the big focus was on wand weapon mastery, as well as the kind of new changes to the nighttime lighting, which was pretty interesting. Very visual, pretty short developer update this time as well. But I mean, let's just kick it off. Like, what'd you think of the developer update this time around, Sub?
It was short, but I expected this because we're getting close to Alpha 2, and also they announced later on in the developer update they were going to do a big update in May, at the end of May, so I thought this update was, I mean, beautiful. Like, the nighttime sky was incredible, like, just little details, like, if you look up at the moon, you can see a glow around the moon, the broken other moon up in the corner, which is related to the story, the stars in the sky, the absolutely beautiful nighttime sounds that I love. And it looked, I think they nailed it, because they specifically said, we don't want it to be so dark you need a torch, but we want it to be dark enough it feels like night. And I think they kind of hit it right in the middle there. And I honestly think, I mean, I think it looked great, at least from what they were showing, at least from the new lighting at nighttime. I'm interested to see what they do with the new daytime lighting system now.
Yeah, I thought it looked really good too. This is the downside of having the audio podcast and not getting to show off the nice nighttime lighting, the visuals. But I thought they did. It looked a lot better. I think we'd kind of seen some nighttime. I remember it was when we were doing, I think it was the commissions, and we got to see, like, it was like the Minotaur and they were fighting at night, and I think that's why they wanted to kind of showcase this developer update, to show, like, hey, not only are we, like, listening, which is awesome, right? They kind of are listening to our feedback, and also they kind of had made some changes to it. And I thought it looked really good. Like, the skybox looks fantastic. I'm a Kerbal Space Program nerd, so, like, you know, good skybox is pretty big for me, and gonna kind of get to see that with, like, the moons and everything like that would look really cool. And like you kind of mentioned, lighting is kind of like one of those things too. It's not like you think about it, I think, a lot sometimes. It depends on the game. Like, you know, if you're playing a game like Splinter Cell, which is all about stealth and hiding, like, yeah, you're probably thinking about it a lot. But I think, like, for an MMO, you know, especially when you're out in the world, there's PvP, there's open world PvP happening. Like, lighting can be really important, and it looked a lot better. I felt like it looked a lot clearer too. So, like, hopefully kind of spotting people, and if you're getting into PvP, there won't be any, like, issues with that. And so I thought they made, I mean, honestly, like, massive progress, and it looked, like I said, that the skybox, just kind of the visuals in general looked beautiful, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just that evolution as we get closer to Alpha 2, and it's, you know, they're really stepping up the progress. We can see it in real time now, and every month is significant progress. I even thought the mage combat looked more fluid, but again, they could have made some changes to make it look more fluid. To me, it looked fluid enough to be comparable with any modern MMO, like World of Warcraft, in my opinion, from that last dev update. But again, he was testing in a solo environment in a non-finished zone. So,
right. Like
I said, I don't think it will be that. I mean, hopefully it will be that fluid at Alpha 2 launch. I don't think it will be, because obviously it's not a finished game. It's going to be messy. It's going to be clunky. And this is how they kind of fix the net code when they start getting thousands of people actually playing on the servers. But overall, it did look way less clunky. Like, it was very fluid. The new spell effects were incredible. We got to see a little piece of the desert biome. I freaking, you know, looked like a desert. We didn't get to see too much of it, unfortunately. But I thought the animations were top tier.
Yeah.
In this new update, they were a significant step up.
No, I definitely agree, because I went back and watched the mage archetype kind of showcase update, and like, it definitely looks way better. Like, the spells look better, the visual effects, the VFX, like, really looked a lot better. Like, there was some clunkiness, I felt like, especially with, like, you know, the ball lightning, like, previously, and, like, it looked so much better. And I definitely agree, like, animation-wise, kind of, like, fluidity, like you said, it's probably being put in the ideal testing situation, right? There's not, like, 10 other, casters also casting, and, like, tons of things going on in the background, and, you know, big PvP fights. So, yeah, it probably is, you know, it may not be quite the same, like, when we dig into Alpha 2, but I just thought the effects looked so much better, so much cleaner. Like you said, definitely up there with any other MMO that's out there. And honestly, like, the visual effects probably even better than a lot of MMOs. So kind of getting to see, you know, what Unreal Engine 5 can do and all the capabilities it has is pretty cool. And I'm excited to see, like, how all the other classes are going to look too. We got to see the fighter. That looked really cool with some of the abilities and some of the effects too. So I'm excited. Any chance has this convinced you at all to play a mage in Alpha 2 or going forward?
It looked more interesting. I'm not going to lie. It looked way more interesting than the last time they showed it off. I mean, I noticed in the Twitch chat when they were showing off the mage, they were like, well, some people were saying the lightning ball moves too slow, but then, like, Steven was, like, he was teleporting, like, he fired a lightning ball at the mob, and then he teleported ahead of it, and the mob just, you know, ran the same speed, kind of, as a lightning ball, and it kept damaging, and I'm like, well, that's kind of cool gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, these little things I noticed, like, the lightning ball is slow, yeah, but, like, you can kind of manipulate it by, like, firing it, teleporting. If the mob's on top of you, then you teleport away from the mob, and, you know, it keeps up with the mob, and it continuously damages it through the whole length of it. And I thought that was one little neat thing I saw. Yeah, the VFX, especially the lava, was really cool. I hope that it interacts more with the environment, like lighting from the spells. They said it was not in the game yet, and they were going to add it. Obviously, it's alpha, so they probably didn't add it yet. They were just trying to get... They're redoing the overall lighting of the game before I think they start doing stuff like that. But it'd be really cool, especially at nighttime, if you see a mage out in the distance casting, like, fire spells, and you can kind of see the glow in the distance. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I thought, too, one of my favorite animations that we saw, too, I don't know if you caught this, but the... when you use the sleep spell, I believe it was on, like, a minotaur, and the minotaur just kind of, like, slumped over. Like, I thought that looked awesome. Just a small thing, but really cool.
No, I caught that also, but I don't want to steal all the thunder from you, do you?
No.
Yeah, and I definitely caught that. I thought that was a great animation, too, where he slept him and he just went... It's like, he was almost like... He just hunched over asleep, and it was funny.
Yeah, it was really good. Just small stuff like that is, like, so much, there's so much immersion that can kind of be gained from it. So, like, that was really cool to see that. And you mentioned, like, the desert biome. We, again, didn't get to see a ton of it, but I mean, just from what we saw, I mean, it looked really good. And kind of getting to see some, like, the clouds and, like, the moon and, like, things like that interacting was really kind of fun. But yeah, I'm excited. I think this was a really, because I think that's one of the things I've heard the most, it, like, you know, focusing on, like, you know, graphically and kind of visuals, and, like, the lighting has been kind of like a work in progress. And you know, Steven has mentioned a few times, you know, it is a work in progress. You know, they are updating things, they are changing things. So to kind of get to see it in action, I think it was, I mean, that's a big step, like, you know, because getting the look right, I think, is really key. And, like, kind of developing a, not just immersion, but also a sense of, like, art style, I think, in the game is going to be really important, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of games that have their own unique art style. And to kind of see that, like, with the skybox and the lighting and everything, I think gave it kind of its own feel, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And also, I think I do think that some of these changes they're doing is because they did make the switch from Unreal Engine 4 to Unreal Engine 5. And it may have set them back a little bit, but I do think in the long term that was the right decision to make.
Absolutely.
Not because of graphics, just because of how much more Unreal Engine 5 can do than Unreal Engine 4.
Like, yeah.
You might as well just take the leap to UE5 at this point. Like, the game is still probably 2+ years out easily. And, you know, I mean, like, at least for support wise from Epic, they at least, you know, are on UE5. And I think it was the right call to make, not only graphically, but for the long term benefit of the game in general.
No, I definitely agree. You know, UE5, you know, love it or hate it. You know, there's kind of like that meme of all UE5 games look the same. But honestly, I think, like, because all the functionality it can kind of add, like, I know there's quite a bit, and I'm not an expert on Unreal Engine by any means, but I do kind of sort of keep up on it. And, like, there's a lot of functionality that's been added for, you know, open world games, for games with larger, I think this, you know, partially doing because of, like, things like, you know, Fortnite uses it, obviously, and, you know, there's larger player counts. So from what I understand, like, there's some benefits kind of in there. So yeah, definitely a good thing that they, I think, switched over. And I mean, I think we're starting to finally see some of the end results, the outcomes of, you know, switching over with the graphics, the lighting, the VFX and all that stuff too.
Yep. And I think that's part of the reason why, like I said, the delay between Alpha 1 and Alpha 2 was so long, because they did switch engines. Or, well, they didn't really switch. They upgraded engines, yeah, I guess. Yeah. And I just think that was a better call. I think UE5 has better tools. They can build stuff faster than UE4. And I think, again, this only benefits the game in the long run, whether you didn't like a delay or not. I mean, they never had a set timetable anyways, but I do think making... Like, I mean, I just look at the clouds in that video we just saw. They looked incredible. Wait till they have, like, thunderstorms and sandstorms.
I can't wait. I love weather effects.
Hurricanes. Like, you know, one can dream, right?
Yeah.
But, like, UE5 can do this stuff way better than UE4, so it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it looks great, honestly. I'm pretty excited. You know, graphics are... You know, I'm not. I think you appreciate graphics more than I do. Like, I'm always kind of like, more than anything for me, it's always like gameplay. But, you know, in a world that you're going to spend a lot of time in, which, you know, an MMO is kind of, you know, the plan, like, having something that looks good, I think, is really important. You know, something that you want to come back and you enjoy kind of seeing, and you know, hitting the visuals is really, really key there.
Yeah, I do appreciate graphics more than you, but, you know, I think we're in the point in at least gaming history where, like, I don't mind a game that looks insanely top end, you know, like when Crysis came out back in 2007, right? But, like, I don't even think some of my favorite games are the best looking games. Like, it's fine to have a top of the end, you know, line looking game and stuff, but, like, I think I prefer gameplay.
Oh, yeah.
He's over graphics, but having really pretty graphics like Ash just has is great. I mean, it does add to the immersion, makes the world feel more alive. And so, I mean, you're right in a sense. I do appreciate graphics a little more, but I also think that it's not the end all be all.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with appreciating graphics. Definitely. I totally understand it. Like, and I think it's more about art style, you know, having a distinct art style, I think, is just as important, if not, for me, more important than like visual quality in terms of graphics. You know, like, there's just certain games that have such a distinctive art style, whether it's, you know, Fortnite, whether it's, you know, Valorant, you know, these types of games where you can just meet, you know, Counter-Strike to some extent, like, just games like the art's so distinct, and like the way that they, you know, create it, it's just like you can just tell without even, like, you know, much, you know, visual or like video, like, oh, this is this game, like, without question. So hopefully kind of like these new changes, these new updates, because I think that was some of the critique I'd heard, that, like, you know, Ashes doesn't really have, like, a, you know, art style or a distinct art style. But I think, you know, a lot of that comes with, like, what we're seeing, which is, like, updates to, like, lighting and, you know, things like that, and skyboxes, right? And so I think that's going to hopefully kind of come along as we kind of keep progressing and getting more updates to, like, the, you know, render and engine, lighting, all that type of stuff.
Well, yeah, it has a more realistic art style. That's why a lot of people say it doesn't really have an art style. It's kind of going for more realism. Like, I mean, I know it's in a fantasy world, but it's more high-end realistic graphics. But on top of that, how cool was it when the mage used the wand, and then the wand would, like if you use a lightning spell, it would the wand would turn, like, have like lightning on it. If you use a fire spell, it would like catch on fire. And if you use a frost spell, I forgot what it did, it like turned frosty or something. That was a cool little feature.
Yeah, the fire beams looked really cool, like out of the wand. Like, I thought those were really, like, really neat. And like, I think when he like started, it was kind of like, it looked like the wand was just kind of like burning. So that was really, really cool to see. Now, I guess, I mean, we could dig more into this too. There was also the second half, kind of, I guess, of the this developer update was kind of like digging into like some more of like the weapon mastery, and some, like, in this case, it was specifically focused on wands, obviously. And I don't know if you had any thoughts on that, like anything they kind of touched on. You know, I thought it was interesting, which we already knew, but it was kind of touched on, you know, with wand mastery, weapon mastery, that obviously it seems like any class can kind of utilize any weapon. But, like, you know, Steven had mentioned that there's, you know, if you're a fighter, or, you know, whatever, or if you're a ranger and you're using a wand, like, it's probably not going to be ideal for you. Right. So they did kind of talk about that a little bit. So, you know, you can kind of do anything, but, you know, obviously there's going to be like some setbacks and things like that. And as it relates to like weapon mastery and what archetype you are in class.
Well, you're saying you don't want to be a fighter with heavy armor and dual wielding wands?
I mean, that was like the Skyrim. Come on, man. You know, that was like the Skyrim thing. You know, it was like, yeah, you could be a like heavy armor, you know, sorcerer wielding, but, you know, there could be some downsides. And I'm cool with that. Like, I'm all for giving people options and creativity. Like, you never know, even if there's some downsides, like what people are going to come up with like combos and, like, you know, doing things like that. So I'm all for it. Like, I'm cool. Like, have it so be downsides. Yeah, for sure.
That's why I said that. I want to see someone do it in Alpha 2.
All right,
I want to walk up to you, and you're going to be in heavy armor, dual wielding wands. Just do it.
I nominate you. You can be the one to try it.
No, right. I'm going to be the archer with, I don't know. Wait, archer with two hands, that's kind of boring. I don't know.
Hopefully an archer with a bow.
Maybe I will goof around with it. Who knows? I mean, like I said, they did say, I want to bring this up also, like, I know it's a little, but they did say their goal is to try not to wipe in Alpha 2 for, but, you know, obviously stuff happens. So, you know, as long as the leveling's not too punishing in Alpha, I may try goofy stuff like
that. Oh, yeah. I mean, they said it's also going to be, and it kind of connects with it too, it's going to be a longer testing period as well. So hopefully no wipes, and hopefully a longer testing period. And I mean, I plan to like really test out a lot of stuff. I think honestly, I feel like I'll probably whatever class I want to test out a lot of the classes and see like what I would actually play at release and things like that. But I definitely, like, I don't want to spend too much time in my, like, whatever I end up deciding on that I want to play at release, because I want to kind of experience it through the game itself, like at release. But I definitely want to, I feel like I'll end up spending more time just goofing around and trying out different like builds and masteries and weapons and things like that to see if there's any fun little combos you can kind of come up with.
Yeah, and it's definitely something we can make YouTube videos on. I'm sure people would love to see it. People who are that aren't in Alpha 2, you know, if they are listening to our podcast, like, throw an idea out there. I mean, if it sounds good and it's goofy enough, I might just try it.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if, like you said, it kind of depends on, is it going to be a slower leveling rate and like things like that. But yeah, we would definitely love to try out any ideas you have, like in Alpha 2 for sure. But just kind of digging back into the weapon mastery system itself, I thought it looked interesting. I know you kind of thought it like maybe looked a little bit, neater, I guess, like cleaner, maybe. Just kind of like, I don't know if you meant like the skill tree or just anything in general, but like I definitely thought it looked, the skill tree itself maybe seemed a little bit cleaner. They seemed to have like a little bit more, it was kind of like shaped like a square, and there was kind of like a couple different options. There's multiple ways to customize it, but like there was a couple different options, I guess, you can kind of go with as far as like procs and like combos and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool to get to see like some of the options we're going to have just for one weapon, not to mention all the others we'll have access to as well.
Yeah, there it seems to be like if you want to be like, if you want your wand to be, you, so they said in this update, you level up your weapon mastery based on the weapon. So like they said, if you have a low level wand and you get a high level wand, it should still be the same level. That means you don't have to re-level it. So that's good.
Yeah, that's great.
It looked like they did have, like I said, the UI looked a little better. Obviously, I don't think they're finished with it. I feel like they are trying to make it more functional first, and then they're going to add some pretty graphics to it later. That's usually what they do. But, yeah. It looked more functional. It looked like it was more focused. Like Steven was saying, it looked like you could focus. Like, if you wanted to be just like a fire mage, you could focus on that. If you wanted to be an ice mage or a lightning mage, you can, with the wand or the weapon mastery tree, you can kind of focus on that more. Or you can kind of like do some, all three combined. You might not be as good in said area, but you know, the possibility exists.
No, yeah, definitely. You know, and one of the things he talked about too, which he has mentioned it before, and I think we briefly touched on it in another episode, but like the fact that there's going to be potential for like synergy between like potential like teammates, you know, like you can kind of be like setting each other up, you know, whether it's if you're, you know, maybe if your wand is focused on, you know, fire procs and, you know, fire damage or whatever, you know, and things like that, then, you know, maybe if, you know, you have a two-handed weapon that can, you know, get fire procs too, like you can kind of like set each other up and boost each other a little bit, which I think is really cool. That's something I'm really excited for. He even kind of mentioned something that I had talked about in one of the previous, I think it was maybe in, oh boy, it might have been like in the nodes episode where we're kind of talking about like, oh, like, you know, classes kind of have different roles, and how cool would it be like if, you know, you go out, you have a little team that's like, they do all ice damage and like they slow people down, you know, like stuff like that. So like, hopefully there's going to be some of that to see too, which will be really cool. Something I'm excited. I love anything that can kind of give me synergy and a reason to like maybe like kind of be having like a more cooperative experience, like whether it's like, you know, me and you were playing together and, you know, maybe we're kind of building some synergy between our abilities, or in this case, like our weapon masteries.
Yeah, based on what he said about wands and just the way they're going in general combat, it seems more group oriented. It seems like buffs and debuffs are more beneficial for groups than just yourself. Like in World of Warcraft, it's like there's a lot of procs on abilities which will make your X ability do more damage. I'm sure this game might have stuff like that, but it seems like, I don't know, I'll just throw out a hypothetical. Maybe a bard can put like a water debuff on a mob, and then you can be a lightning mage can do extra damage on it. And I mean, I think that's very cool, like with what they're doing. It's just, or like you said, when it was raining out and like you do more lightning damage, and it just makes the game world feel alive. Yeah. And that's what we kind of saw in this update, is we saw in the nighttime, like I said, it's all draws back into the nighttime and just like the wand, the cool graphics, you know, the weather systems, everything we talked about all this time, and how all this comes together is going to be really cool if they can pull it off.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely agree with you. I like that kind of like that synergy, those combos, just like debuffs that can kind of like combo for your, or boost your opponents. It's really cool. It's honestly one of the things I love the most about the games, such as like Baldur's Gate 3, or in particular their previous game, Divinity 2, which, you know, that game was all about like, you know, the crazy, like you could cast rain and it would put like a puddle under somebody, and that would, you know, you could lightning bolt that. So like stuff like that I think is really cool, and kind of adds like the immersion and kind of that synergy I was mentioning earlier. So you know, I don't know if they're going to go that in depth with it, but like you're definitely right, and it does kind of add to a sense of, you know, like this is like a living world. You know, these things can happen. You know, there's going to be benefits. I can't wait to see like how weather, you know, we kind of, you know, seen a little bit like, you know, rainy and stormy weather maybe can boost like some of your lightning skills, but I'll be excited to see like what else can kind of happen as well in that regard, because I love weather. Weather is one of my favorite things in games, like games that can really nail it. You know, it really adds like another sense of immersion for me.
True, especially nighttime weather. Seeing a thunderstorm out in the distance, imagine that in Ashes. But like, I just want to pivot here a little bit. So this was a pretty short dev video, so anyone who listens to our podcast or anything, we're just going to pull up a couple more points here that they mentioned during. It was about, overall, I think they showed off about 35 minutes in-game around there. But they had a lot of good, more information that came out of this video that people might be interested in. One is that they're going to be showing off the Bard possibly in the next few months. So yeah, that's pretty huge for all those Bard lovers out there.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. It's on my list. I have a huge list of, I'm not 100% on one I want to play yet. Obviously no idea for release, but you know, I'm going to be testing, but Bard is on the list of classes I really want to try. Cause I play Dungeons and Dragons. Bard's a really cool class in that. So if there's some inspiration taken for that, maybe it'll be a cool class in the Ashes as well. So yeah, the Bard sounds cool. I want the Rogue. I got to see the Rogue too.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure if Rogue will be there at launch at Alpha 2, and they
may not.
And they might. But yeah, hopefully. But if not, I mean, that's just how it goes. I also want to bring up that they announced they were in milestone 9 for Alpha 2, which means they are finishing the content that's going to be for the launch of Alpha 2, and they're going to be moving into milestone 10 soon. And that means they're going to be bug fixing and getting the game up to snuff so, you know, it's playable for Alpha 2 launch. And they said a couple times during the stream that they are on track for quarter 3. So,
which is great.
Good news on this front.
Yeah, which is great because, I mean, you know, the closer we get, you know, I mean, they could always, like, it wouldn't be the first game then, like, as you get really close, you're like, yeah, we got a delay. But you still got to think it's a good thing that, even as we draw closer, they seem to still think we're on track for like a quarter 3 release for sure. And
I mean, technically it could launch in 2 months. July 1st is the beginning of quarter 3.
I would be very happy if that happened. I think that would be amazing.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that's technically when Q3 starts.
Yeah, no, I would be thrilled.
So I mean, that'd be nice. I mean, Steven's also doing a podcast or AMA next week with a couple of people. I would love to do an AMA with him one day. One day, fingers crossed. But so I mean, they're definitely gearing up here. Like, he's doing more things. Now they're releasing more videos. Like the dev update they just did, they didn't show off all the wand things you can do. They're gonna be releasing videos throughout the month of May. To show more. So this really points to me be like, yeah, they're really starting to ramp up for Alpha 2. They're doing a little more PR, I guess. Well, that just a little bit. They're throwing a little bit of hype out there, but they're also trying to set expectations realistically. Like Steven literally said, like, if you do a podcast or anything about our game, you know, tell them this is going to be an actual alpha of a game. It's not going to be, some things aren't going to function, you know, it's going to be brokey, buggy, like, so.
No, yeah.
They're definitely gearing up here.
No, definitely, I agree. And I know we had that conversation not too long ago, like, because I was like, man, we really bring up, like, every time, like, you know, it's going to be an alpha, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be issues, but, you know, Steven mentioned it, so I feel like, I guess we got to keep doing our part, like, keep bringing it up that, you know, it's not going to be perfect, there's going to be issues, and because I understand where he's coming from too. You know, it doesn't matter how much you know hammer home like hey, this is an alpha, hey, or like, hey, this is an early access game or whatever, like, people will just go in and expect like a fully polished experience. But hopefully kind of getting into that milestone 10 will that'll be a good thing if they're going to get into that soon, you know, because, you know, he did mention in previous dev updates too, like, they are going to do some optimization, which I think is really important, because a lot of times optimization doesn't happen until the end. So the fact that they're, you know, thinking about that stuff now, right, for when we get our hands on it in Alpha 2, so it's not hopefully too bad performance wise I expect it probably won't be the best, but at least, you know, they're doing that. That's something they'll be doing in milestone 10, as well as kind of cleaning things up, polishing things. And I'm curious to see how much content we're going to get in Alpha 2 as well. You know, they've talked about a lot of things, but, you know, if you look at the wiki, there's supposedly going to be, you know, a lot of things in Alpha 2. So I'm curious if we'll get all that content or if there's going to be some things to cut.
They said in the video that they're going to be, you know, releasing that sometime before Alpha 2 launches. So we're going to be getting a big update about what's in Alpha 2 and stuff. And then possibly some hints of what's coming in patches afterwards for testing. But yeah, like Steven realized the hype is rising for Alpha 2. It's close. Yeah. He just wants to keep people to keep their it's okay to be hyped for it, but you just gotta be realistic. You know, it's gonna be buggy.
Oh yeah. I definitely think it's gonna be buggy. And you know, it's just like I understand, like, I've gone through waves, you know, me and you have both experienced, and I'm not gonna mention any specific games. But we've both gotten super excited for games to release, and they come out and they, you know, they're really disappointing, and that kind of like kind of kills, like, you're like, all right, I guess I just can't get hyped for games. And, you know, I went through that period, but now I'm just at the stage of like, I just want to get excited. You know, I'm really excited for this game. It has a lot of things that I'm interested in, so I'm going to get really excited, but also just know that, like, when, whether it's Alpha 2 or actual release, like, it's not going to be perfect, right? There's going to be some issues. There's going to be issues that pop up inevitably. So it's really just a matter of, you know, I encourage people to get excited, right? There's no reason to be, you know, negative about everything. I mean, unless you want to be, but, you know, there's no reason to, you know, be thinking like, this game is going to be terrible. Because every other, you know, MMO that's come out's like struggled, or, you know, since WoW. But, you know, get excited, and just, you know, as long as you get to the Alpha 2 or, you know, the release, and you're like, you know, there's going to be some issues, but hopefully they'll kind of work through them.
It's okay to be excited. Just, you know, be realistic.
Yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm excited too, but I'm also realistic. I'll tell you how realistic I am. I also am going to have, like, as much as I want to dive into Alpha 2, I also want to have a side game that I can dive into also, because I do know that Alpha 2 is going to be, you know, it might not be functional, there might be a lot of server downtime, and I'm looking at possibly other MMOs just to, you know, because I'm an MMO addict, to dive into while Alpha 2 is possibly going, or at least up until, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying, be realistic. Have other games. Play Alpha 2 if you're in it. Have fun. Test the game out. That's what it's for. But, you know, have fallback games. I mean, I'm hoping Dune Awakening comes out this year to be one of my fallback games just to goof around on, and while I play Alpha 2 and as Alpha 2 evolves.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think I'm a little more, I buy into the hype definitely a little bit more. But I have gotten better, like, about tempering myself, especially when it comes to debate. I'm just all in. I just get so excited. I'm just really, I just want to get my hands in the game. I want to play it. And I know it's not going to be perfect. I played so many early access games. It's not even funny. So I've gotten like, hey, I'm ready for the bugs. I can work with bugs. You know, as long as there's not like crashes and things like that, then that's usually a killer. Cause like there's nothing you could do about that often. So if you're just crashing, then it's hard to play anything. It's hard to try anything. You know, there's not too much you can give beyond a crash report, but I'm ready to dig in for sure.
I really want to just make content, like, I want to make, like, actual videos, or even mean streaming on Twitch for Alpha 2. I know there's going to be a lot of people doing it, but, like, maybe doing things other people aren't doing in Alpha 2. You know, people are going to be doing, you know, X, Y, and Z in Alpha 2. Maybe I want to do that silly thing I mentioned. With
Wizard and Heavy Armor.
Yeah, the Wizard and Heavy, or the Fighter and Heavy Armor with dual wield wand or whatever. For funsies,
you might find an insane combo that you get nerfed or something. I don't know, but no,
that's what an alpha's for.
No, yeah, I mean, you know, let's try it out. Let's see what happens. But yeah, I think it's gonna be pretty exciting. They kind of mentioned too, you know, I definitely encourage everybody if you're into Ashes of Creation, because so they released the video on YouTube that is just kind of like the in-game footage. But, you know, you get a lot of good information from, you know, Steve and Margaret talking back and forth, like, at the beginning and after. So I definitely encourage folks, if you're really into Ashes, to tune into the full stream, because you'll get some good information from that. You know, that's where we got some of the information about, like, it being in Milestone 9, almost in Milestone 10. Right. And so I think, like, the next, hopefully, it sounded like they were definitely strongly hinting at maybe the next developer update is going to be Node Wars. So that might be something that we dig into as well going forward, because, like, we've kind of touched on it a little bit. So if you're kind of interested, maybe getting a little bit of a preview, you can definitely find that episode. I think it was episode 2 or 3 or something like that. And so if you want to kind of get some information on it. But I'm excited for that. I'm super excited for that, because that's probably going to be a lot of PvP. And I love PvP. You love PvP. So I want to see what that's all about coming up.
Yeah. And I think we're going to do a Node Wars 2.0 podcast to kind of, like, maybe Maybe try and guess some things and do a little theory crafting before they do the dev update, and then see how our see if anything we predict comes true just for funsies.
Yeah,
because it could be fun, and maybe spout some. I mean, we already did it once, but I mean, I'm sure I could think of more things to spout.
Oh yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, I would definitely like to. Hopefully, before the next end of May update, we do a NodeWars 2.0 where we just talk about some of the things that maybe we didn't talk about, maybe just go a little deeper into it, maybe theory craft a little bit, maybe give some ideas for them, and who knows.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I love anything that's like Node Wars, Castle Sieges, anything like that, I'm all in on. So I can't wait to talk about it, and I can't wait to kind of see what they have for us as well.
Oh yeah, look for a big time if it is Node Wars. I think it is, but I'm not 100% positive.
Was there anything else you wanted to dig into as far as kind of like what was shown in the video? I know there's kind of we have a little bit of a new segment, if you want to call it that, to kind of talk about some of the developer discussion. But is there anything else from the actual update itself that you wanted to chat about?
No, I mean, if whatever they showed, whenever Steven was playing it, if they can get that, you know, with lots of players on the screen and that kind of fluidity and stuff, and then you got yourself a real MMO there. There's the foundation. It was beautifully fluid, great combat. That's what the end game needs to be. Right what we saw the other day. That's exactly what they need to nail for launch. Obviously, not Alpha 2, but launch. And then you got the beginnings of a beautiful MMO. Already is beautiful, but I mean, if they can nail that fluidity we saw with this dev update, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting, and I'm really excited too. They even mentioned, Steven was talking about how they've been hiring developers, quite a few developers, you know, last month and this, or April and the month before as well. So they're still bringing a lot of people, and I don't want to dig too much into it, you know, like, because there's been a lot of layoffs like in the gaming industry and things like that. Obviously, it's a serious issue. People are, you know, losing jobs and stuff like that. But I feel like they're one of the few companies that are, you know, really committing to, you know, hiring a lot more people and getting more people in, and going from like 10 developers. I think they said it was over 200 as now. I mean, I think that was kind of where they were.
Yeah, well over 200, I think.
So that's exciting too. You know, they're ramping up. You know, they're not slowing down and like bringing in more developers, getting more people in there. That's only going to, you know, in the long term, speed up things, and we're going to get more more exciting, you know, stuff coming in, hopefully. So
also I want to put one more thing out there. You know, like, we kind of, Francie and I kind of pick the topic every week, but like, if you're a listener to our podcast, I would like to actually have, even if you post it on YouTube comments or anything, like, is there any topic anyone out there wants us to cover? Because like, I'm getting to the point where it's like, we're getting really close to Alpha 2, and I'm like, I don't want to dive too deep into some, like, I don't mind if, like, if you guys ask for a topic, I'll look into it and just talk about it for a bit. But it's like, we're getting to the point where we're really close to Alpha 2 now, and it's going to be, once Alpha 2 hits, it's going to be talking a lot about that instead. So like, if there's any topic you listeners out there would like us just to even briefly go over, even though it might be theory crafting or just what basic info we know, throw us an idea in the comments, because I really want to see what other people are interested in besides Francie and I, because I'm running out of kind of ideas what to talk about before Alpha 2. I'm kind of getting on the hype train, so I want to see what other people have to say, or maybe if we did that just once a month, like, you know, they've picked a top, or someone in the comments, even if it's one person that put it, it might just be worth doing.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I don't want you where I got a million ideas if we need it, but no, I'm excited to kind of dig into like more like getting ready for Alpha 2 and kind of things that are going to be surrounding it. There was actually a comment too, like, that somebody had made, I think it was iNewbie had commented, like maybe talking about, you know, non-MMO players being interested in Ashes. So maybe that's something we could do in the future, which is really interesting. Well,
that would be kind of hard, because we're both MMO players. Do you know any non-MMO?
I could find someone. I mean, or, you know, I'm an MMO player for sure, but like, I would say most of my time is, you know, I played a lot of MMOs, but never for very long. So, you know, I feel in some ways I feel like I am more of like a non-MMO player, but I bet I'm sure we could find some folks or, you know, maybe dig into like what could Ashes bring maybe to folks that aren't maybe like the traditional, you know, longtime MMO player as well.
True, I guess. I would say I've probably played MMOs 10 times as much as you. So I guess that could kind of count, but
yeah, you're definitely more experienced.
I don't know. Like, that is a good topic. I'm interested in that.
Yeah, especially with a game that like offers potentially more than like kind of like the standard fare for an MMO. Like, you know, it's not just, you know, dungeons. It's not just raids. It's not just, you know, a little bit of PvP. Right? There's going to be a lot of crafting potentially, and you know, different things you can kind of get into beyond the traditional experience as well. And I've had a lot of experience with MMOs too that have had like kind of that non-traditional MMO player. You know, Star Wars Galaxies being probably the biggest one that I can think of. But yeah, something that we could definitely dig into.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to look at the feature set, and I think we kind of went over a little bit, like the cozy game and stuff, but like,
yeah.
Also, one thing I definitely know I want to do is maybe, after obviously probably Alpha 2 launches, is maybe we could start doing video versions of our podcast where you guys can see us, and hopefully, obviously, if you listen to us on the services, you won't get the full thing, but for YouTubers, you know, maybe we could go into a little more depth, and maybe just do a little more with the podcast and just talking back and forth. Maybe, you know, we'll be playing the game and point some cool stuff out to you guys. And I'd like to dive into that stuff a little deeper, but that will probably be after Alpha 2 launches. But if you guys are interested in, or even if it's not a part of the podcast, if you're interested in us just doing, you know, diving in and Ferenczi and I jumping into a game and recording an hour, a couple hours, and you guys just watching us goof around in it or whatever. Or if there's specific things like you want us to look into in Alpha 2 for a video for YouTube, maybe you're interested in the crafting system and no one really did a good video about it or something. Just, you know, those are ideas for the future also.
Yeah, let us know and make sure you subscribe on YouTube so you can follow that content, that inevitable content. Undoubtedly. All right. Yeah. So I did have. So one of the things that Ashes of Creation does is they kind of have developer discussions. And if you're interested in participating, you can go to the forums and kind of give some of your feedback and kind of talk about some of the things that are going on there. And this was posted on the 30th as well. Usually a lot of times they coordinate it with, you know, a developer video going out. And it may not at all relate to the developer video, but you know, just I think they're just looking for feedback. Like genuinely, they just kind of want to get people's feedback on certain things, which I think is awesome. And this week's developer question was, when it comes to cutscenes, what entices you not to skip them? And kind of tell us about some of your favorites and what makes them unique. So I don't know if you have any anything you want to chime in on to give some feedback on cutscenes, and you know, why won't you skip them? What will keep you from skipping them?
A bunch of badasses fighting each other, or you know what I'm saying?
Action.
I mean, something that engages me. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, for cutscenes, like the things I hate most about small cutscenes is like a door opening. Like, I don't want to see a cutscene for a door opening, okay? Like, because I mean, unless it's like a gigantic epic door with a big bad boss behind it, then no, please. Meaningful cutscenes to me are, just look at all of the CGI cinematics for every WoW expansion. Like, that, all of them, I would say at least all of them are, have like epic music, epic visuals, a little bit of epic story in it. They're short, they get to the point, they're emotional. If you don't want me to skip a cutscene, you need to just don't drag it on, one. And two, I feel like it's got to be relevant to what I'm doing. Like I said, like I'll give you an example. Like Blizzard introduced, I won't go too much in this, but Blizzard introduced a couple of cutscenes in Wrath of the Lich King that were incredibly epic. and people love them. And then in Cataclysm came out, Blizzard decided, well, people love them so much, they decided to put a cutscene every other quest, and it was so annoying. So it's like, I mean, save the cutscenes for the big epic things, or maybe very important story.
Yeah, I definitely agree. too many cutscenes can definitely be a hamper. The game, it obviously, this is an amazing game series, don't get me wrong, but I think it definitely started to wear on me, especially in certain entries into this franchise, like Metal Gear Solid. You know, sometimes it felt more movie than game at certain points. I think it was like Metal Gear Solid 3, maybe, which I know a lot
four.
Of people love.
I think you're thinking of 4. 4 was more movie than game, but like, I think there are places for games like that. Sorry for interrupting you. And I do agree with you that eventually, as the more Metal Gears came out, it became more movie than game, which, I mean, it was okay to me. But, I mean, I still feel like the gold standard for Metal Gear was number one, and number two was great balance of them. But then they kind of went overboard with it.
Metal Gear. No, I definitely, I don't get me wrong, I love the Metal Gear series. I've played, I think, 1 through 5. So I love them. But there's just certain times where I'm like, man, I just want to play the game right now. As much as I love this, and kind of like going back to that question a little bit, what keeps me from skipping them? For me, it's all about like, you know, character, kind of like that connection to like my characters, you know, whether it's in my party or my character itself. And, you know, some games and some of my favorites that I think about, and I'm a big story guy. I love story in games. You know, I love real in-depth stories, complex stories. You know, so that like really intrigues me, and obviously having good plot helps a lot too. But, you know, I think of like, you know, my favorite game of all time. I've never wavered from it yet. You know, maybe Ashes will replace it one day, but my favorite game of all time, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, which was the single player, not the MMO game that came out. And like that just had, you know, obviously, you know, going back and playing it now, it's a little bit older, right? Maybe it doesn't hold up maybe as well, but like just like the sheer scale, you know, of like those cutscenes, and like I'm so invested into like all the characters and like the plot, and so like that's so important to me. And I think that's why like MMOs, and I posted this at, you know, when the Ashes of Creation Twitter handle posted this, I was like, you know, I really like, I have a hard time watching cutscenes in MMOs because I don't know, I feel like such like a, like, I feel like I'm missing out. Like, I gotta level up. I gotta do this. I gotta, you know, I got like 10,000 things to do. And so, and a lot of times there's not that connection with the characters either, because, you know, it's just, oh, well, like 3,000 people on the server have done the same thing. They've seen the same cutscene. They've seen the same person tell them how important they are. But, you know, it doesn't feel like that because, you know, it's an MMO. Like, you can't like completely change the world around you to fit like one character. Right, because that obviously that just can't happen in MMOs, but yeah, so just kind of like that connection. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do with cutscenes and how they implement them, and hopefully, like you said, it won't be like a too much kind of delaying you from like doing all the things that you probably want to do.
Yeah, I'll give one more example here. A good example is like in modern WoW, whenever an expansion launches, most people, not everyone, mind you, but you know, the people want to just pew to end game, right? Because there's a lot of people in MMOs that just want to rush to end game. They will just power through the new level cap, skip all the story, literally skip everything. And then they'll make an alt and go back and do it slowly and get involved in it. So if that just needs to tell you how MMO stories are, like people are willing to just, you know, power through it to get to end game. And then maybe you should put more of your story towards the end of the game. Like, have some story in there while leveling up, but put more story at the end game, because there are a lot of people out there where they just want to power through and will skip it.
Yeah, especially, you know, an MMO, like, especially at a release of an MMO in particular, because, you know, everyone's trying to, like, keep up with their friends, and, you know, everyone's rushing. Yep. You know, whether it's, like, world first, or, you know, whether it's just, like, you're trying to keep up with your buddies, you know, things like that.
It's not even, it's not even world first. It's like, yeah, you have the fear of falling behind, like you're saying. Like I said, modern WoW is the staple for this. People will skip everything and then make an alt. So, I mean, I think, like I said, putting most of the story when you're max level is probably the better idea, at least for cutscenes. That's just my two cents. But
yeah, I almost kind of compare it to like quest dialogue in MMO, which I don't know. I mean, I've read some, and you know, World of Warcraft for sure. But, you know, game, like for ArcheAge, I don't think I ever read a single word of text in that. I think I just slammed like the next button to get through it so I could start doing the quest. Just like I said, there's no like sense of connection. You know, you're just a random person, like kind of given a generic task. And so it's kind of like, I look at it almost similar to cinematics in that way. Like, you know, if there's no connection, if there's nothing that I'm really invested in, then I don't know. And so maybe like your idea of like keep the cinematics for like epic things, whether it's like, hey, here's a new season or a new expansion, like here's like something to get you hyped, versus like, you know, an MMO having people like spammed with like cinematics and cutscenes, because or, you know, quest dialogue, whatever, same thing, you know, because yeah. I just don't think a lot of people are, they just want to, you know, they want to play the game, they want to keep up with their friends, they want to, you know, get to, you know, the combat or, you know, the artisan stuff, you know, crafting, whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's literally the modern staple for most games. Like, when Diablo 4 came out, I did not rush the story. I could have.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of people just skipped it and then went back and... I mean, a lot of people just watched it on YouTube. Like people put compilations together of, like, all the interactions while leveling up. Like they skip all the gameplay, and then they just record all the cutscenes, whether it's in-game or, you know, a CGI cutscene, and then post it on YouTube. So that's where we're at in gaming. Like, I know people care about stories, but you'd be shocked how many people actually just skip it. So, like, if you're going to do a story while leveling up in Ashes, my thing is try to get to the point quick. Like, I don't want to read walls of text. I don't want to... This is my opinion, by the way, and if you disagree with me, that's fine. But I don't like reading walls of text. I like playing the game. I don't mind a small epic cutscene now and then, like the one they shut off with the tree kind of like spewed out. What was it in the warrior one or the fighter one? Sorry, they showed no, it was a commissions.
Yeah,
one,
commissions.
Right? Where they showed the tree, like they evolved the zone, and you saw a cutscene where the tree was like spewing out like poison. I don't know what it was, but I mean, little things like that are fine, but yeah, I don't want to read walls of text. Like, I mean, like, be up front with your story while leveling up, and then save that epic stuff for later. That's just how I feel, because this way, when I'm out there enjoying the game, like, I'm doing, like, an epic level 50 quest or whatever the level cap is, and, like, then I can just sit there and enjoy it, because I'm max level, like, it's not a big deal. I don't have to catch up to anyone or, you know, yeah, stuff like that.
I think that's part of it, too, and I'll try to keep it brief. Like, it's also, you know, if you're in a group of, like, you know, five people, like, not everyone, you know, you got the person that doesn't care at all about the story, like they just want to skip ahead. You know, you get the person that wants to watch everything. And a lot of times just what happens is like, you know, you end up, you know, you just want to play with your friends. Like you might have a limited time to play with each other too. So
that's a good point.
It's one of those things like, okay, let's see. We, you know, I mean, like I love watching cutscenes and all that. So like, I would be the person that would sit there, but I'm also like, I know some people don't like them or care about them. And, you know, I would rather like go back and watch them on my own time, that way I don't have to be rushed. And so yeah, that way I can like keep playing with my friends before, you know, they have to get off, before I have to get off, whatever. So that makes it harder too, like during the actual leveling experience, during the actual game too. So, you know, something to think about.
That's a very good point. Like you said, you're leveling with people, and that one person wants you to skip.
Yeah. So. And if you ever played the Old Republic, which was the MMO version of, like, related to Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, which was very cinematic and very cutscene and, like, dialogue heavy, like, you know, I remember my first time playing it, man, like, you know, I had friends that were just slamming through. They didn't care about anything, you know, and I'm like, wait, I want to, like, you know, I want to respond. I want to have the right choice. So, you know, things like that can be difficult too, for sure. But yeah, I think I'm hopefully they'll get some of this feedback. They'll find a good balance, and we'll kind of see a nice little, some cool cut. I love cutscenes for hyping, getting hyped up too. Overwatch was like one of the best, like, in, you know, Blizzard in general is one of the best at like making badass cutscenes to get you really hyped for a game. So I hope we get to see some really cool cutscenes for Ashes to get us even more hyped.
They could just do I'll just give one more example. They could just do a goofy cutscene where, like, I mean, it's not even goofy. It's like you do all your quests, and, like, I don't know, at the end, it sets up the dungeon, like a small little cutscene that sets up all the, you know, bad guys in the dungeon or whatever. I mean, stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely all for that. Is there anything else you wanted to dig into before we kind of wrap things up?
No, not really. I think, like I said, great showing. Can't wait to get my hands on it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited too to just kind of dig into it and see what we got in Alpha 2. I'm gonna keep saying that till we get our hands on it. Hopefully in July, that would be amazing. But
that'd be sick.
That would be amazing. I would be so happy, you know. Yeah. So I think, again, you know, Sub and I talked about this too. And hey, if you got ideas for podcast ideas you'd like to see us, please throw it at us. You know, we are only two people, so you know, you probably have a lot more creativity between all of you than us. So please suggest things for us. Plan right now is I think we're going to try to do another, because again, we decided to delay this episode a little bit, partially due to we wanted to just, you know, dig into the dev update since it was kind of on a Tuesday, which was a little bit unusual. But I think the plan is maybe to do another episode hopefully soon. And the plan right now is to talk about items, like items and kind of loot drops and MMOs, because obviously that's one of the big appeals of MMOs is getting the fat loot, you know. And kind of so talking about that is, I think, kind of would be kind of an interesting, fun thing to dive into. But like I said, we'll dig might dig into some Node War stuff too, part two. You know, version 2, episode 2, whatever you want to call it, but in the future. But yeah, if you are interested, please join us, subscribe to us, as I mentioned earlier, like the video, comment if you want to chime in with us. We definitely appreciate, you know, folks tuning in and watching. And you know, you've been kind to us as a kind of a new podcast, Talking Ashes starting out. So we really appreciate that. If you want to jump into some of our more in-depth conversations, I know there's conversations about Diablo Season 4 going on right now in our Discord. So if you're into that, you know, we don't just talk Ashes. We talk other games. We're big gamers in general. So please come on in. If you check the description below, if you want to kind of join some of our conversations. Obviously, if you're listening to our podcast on, you know, Apple or Spotify, leave us a review. Obviously, that helps us too. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and leave it there. So thanks so much for joining us, and we will definitely see you next time.
See you next time.